When Paul writes the book of 1 Corinthians, he does so to correct some problems in the church. I'm not going to get into that muchly so tonight, but I want to continue this thought of the Spirit's work in the New Testament church. And we will continue that even through this study, because it is definitely a part of the study. In chapter number 12, I am, for the purpose of tonight's message, I'm going to deal specifically with the first verses of the chapter, maybe down through verse number 13. But Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." There is much ignorance concerning spiritual gifts in the modern church. I'm sure that you're aware of that. "Ye know that ye were Gentiles." Now watch these words. "Carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." He said, now you didn't come from a good background. You wasn't one that just happened to have all of the spiritual background you ought to have when you came to know the Lord Jesus. You came from the dark ages, so to speak. And there's some things you need to know. "Wherefore," or because of that, "I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Did you ever hear anyone say damned as far as either Jesus or God is concerned? You think they do that by the Spirit of God? Absolutely not. No, sir. Now watch this. "And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Well, hallelujah. Can you say Jesus is Lord tonight? Yes. He is Lord, isn't he? Yes, he is. And here's the good thing about it. Even though we have much literature on the horizon and running down the pike that says you can make Jesus Lord, the fact is God made him Lord. And we didn't even have a vote in the matter. You can't make Jesus anything. God has already made him all that he is and all that he'll ever be. There's nothing you can add to or take from. He is the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit, by the good Holy Ghost. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration by the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all." Now did you notice verse 4, the Spirit is mentioned. Verse 5, the Lord is mentioned, the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, God is in the picture. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now Paul is putting the seal on what he's about to say. Here is the greatest seal man could ever have. To be sealed of God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Holy, or God the Son. Now this thing is entirely of God. All wrapped up in the truth of God Himself. "But the manifestation of the Spirit giveth to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, or by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, divideth to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, for all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now let's look back at some of these words, if we may, just to kind of open this study. We won't be able to do more than that tonight on this text. But you'll notice, if you've counted, the Holy Spirit is referred to in these 13 verses 11 times. Paul is not about to let this thing get by without having the church to realize that this is the Spirit's work. For just a moment, think with me, if you will. If the church were left here on our own, what kind of mess would we be in? We're in a big enough mess today anyhow. Think of what a mess we'd be in without the Holy Ghost. But thank God the Holy Ghost is still with us. And He is still guiding us. He is still directing us. He is still giving us the gifts that are necessary to carry on the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not just some happenstance along the way, but we are added to the church as God sees fit. God adds to His church on a consistent basis. And by the way, will until the last one is brought in, and then we're leaving out of here. Now, I don't know when that's going to be. You don't either. Many have made predictions as to when it's going to happen, and so far, every one of them have been wrong. So don't look for me to get on that bandwagon. I like to be right once in a while. I'm not going to get involved with date setting, not by any stretch of the imagination. One particular gentleman, some about 7-8 years ago now, made the prediction that Jesus was coming at a particular date, and he didn't show up. Well, he was on radio stations across this country. After that happened, he didn't have many radio stations. But he'd made all the preparation, had his people make all the preparation, but he's not the only one that's ever done that. Down through the years, men have set dates and said, the Holy Ghost doesn't give us a date. He just lets us know that it's coming. And by the way, the Spirit will always have us look at it as an imminent situation. Not a date setting that we can look forward to a particular date out there somewhere, but imminently. He could come today. That's how the Spirit says it to us. Not 6 years from now on the 23rd of October. Not by any stretch of the imagination, but He's coming when God Almighty has set the date. And by the way, that last one will be in by then.
Yes, sir.
Because remember, there is one who is controlling all of the variables. When God set this thing in motion, He didn't leave it there on its own. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Let me say this to you. God Almighty put this thing in motion, and He keeps it in motion, and He'll bring to pass exactly what He said He was going to do, and it'll happen in exactly the time that it's supposed to, and no man, no power will keep that from happening. Do you think for a moment, now we're celebrating the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ, but do you think for a moment that the birth of Christ could have been put off another day? Absolutely not, because it was on God's calendar. Do you think the crucifixion of our Lord could have been put off another day?
No,
absolutely not. How about the resurrection?
No.
Oh, no, absolutely not. The ascension. Then if all that's so, then how about His coming again? It'll be on time. Exactly on time, like everything else has been on time. Because God makes sure that all of the variables are taken care of. God has put this thing together and given us the gifts that are needed to carry on the ministry. That ministry is His, not ours. Often we get the idea that it's our ministry. It's not our ministry, it's His ministry. And the Holy Ghost is administering these things and causing these things to come to pass. Now look at it, if you will, in verse number 5. I want to pick a word out here There are differences of administration. The word here is dikaioeina, and it means attendance or service. And there are differences of service. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Differences of attendance, if you will. Attending to the matter. It reminds me, and I think it will you as well, but it reminds me of a good waitress. She attends to the needs of the customers. She doesn't bring you food and go hide somewhere, but she makes sure that everything's there that you need. That when they're like that, you don't mind giving them a tip, do you? Absolutely not. But when they just come and bring you food and never see them again, the tip you want to give them is you need to learn how to be a waitress. Well, here's the truth of the matter where the church is concerned. God's Holy Ghost gives us gifts, and then He gives us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the power to carry out that gift, to administer that by His power. Not mine, His. Now, God uses natural talents, but He doesn't use natural talents that haven't been sanctified. You did hear that. Thank God for natural talents. But then thank God even more so for the gifts of the Holy Ghost that empowers us to carry on the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are differences of attendance, if you will, but the same Lord. You don't do the same thing someone else does. By the way, you don't do it the same way someone else does. I wonder how often preachers have heard this. Well, our last preacher didn't do it like that. That's pathetic. When people don't understand that men are different and God helps them in their differences to carry on the ministry. My brother and I are as close as any two preachers could possibly ever be. But we're as different in administration as you could be. There's a difference in the way we do things. Some of that is because of our background. But for the most part, it is the gift of the Holy Ghost that uses the individual to carry on and administer the work of God. God didn't want him to be like me. God didn't want me to be like him. If he had, we'd have been Siamese twins. Eudenical twins. Work on that one for a while. So therefore, there are differences. Not only differences in the administration, but there are differences in the individuals. And then in verse number 6, there are diversities of operation. Now the word operation is entirely another word. It is M-R-A-M-A, and it literally means effect. Difference in the effect. Can you imagine that? It's the gift that God gives to say what needs to be said. And some preachers can reach some folks and some can reach others. Doesn't mean that one's any better than the other. It simply means that God has gifted them for that particular purpose. Right. I was in a meeting some years ago with the so-called world's greatest soul winner and the pastor of the largest church in the country. And it came my time to preach, and the preacher beside me, he said, "Brother Larry, boy, don't you feel like you're outclassed entirely to get up and preach here?" I said, "Absolutely not. God called me and God gifted me, and I'll get up there and preach what God gave me to preach. And that's all we can do." I don't know. There may have been a time some years ago that I was intimidated by the preachers, but I'm not intimidated by men today. No, I don't care who they are, where they've been, or what they've done. I'm not intimidated. God called me to do what He wants me to do. And God has gifted you to do what you're supposed to do. Now you do it in spite of what others do. We don't do what we do to please us. We do what we do to please Him. And I'm assured from the Scripture that the call of God is not only the call of service, but a call to prepare for that service. I don't think God wants us to run out there in our ignorance and try to do things. I believe He wants us to prepare to do that. And when we do, then God blesses that even more so. But no amount of preparation can for a moment make a splash in the ocean compared to the Holy Ghost empowerment in the preaching and the teaching. Amen. And whatever it happens to be. When it's Holy Ghost empowered, hallelujah. Amen. Glory, what a difference. What a difference. Just to know and to spit out words and to spit out things that we've learned is of no benefit unless the Spirit of God puts wings on it and flies it into the rafters of your soul. And when He does, then things change entirely. So there are diverses of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Get that in your head. All in all. Not once in a while, but every time, in every circumstance. God does it. Hallelujah. Now, there are circumstances where the Holy Ghost is not present. You know what they're doing? They're winging it on their own. I want you to know, when they wing it on their own, there is no spiritual benefit to anyone. None whatsoever. Religion is the most useless thing in the world, but it's the most adhered to of anything in the world. How about that? When you learn that religion is useless, you've come a long way in developing into what God would have you be. Salvation is the thing that makes the difference. The indwelling Holy Ghost is what makes the difference. Not just saying, hey, look at me, how religious I am. Well, follow all the quagmires of religion, if you will, and all you're going to do is wind up in hell someday. But by the grace of God, when God saves you, makes you different, does the work in your heart, Holy Ghost moves inside, things change, and you'll do some things you never thought possible because it's God in you. Number seven. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Here's that word almost again, with all. Now the manifestation is the word phanoresis, and this is the word exhibition, put on display. Let's look at this thing again. But the exhibition of the Spirit. Did you hear that? Not the exhibition of Larry, not the exhibition of Gary, but the exhibition of the Spirit. Glory! Pick it up! It is the manifestation of the Spirit of God, not the manifestation of the individual. When the individual is manifested, the Holy Ghost is grieved. And oft times we grieve the Holy Ghost by our egotism. If we just be honest, we've done that a few times, every one of us. But we have to realize that we are absolutely nothing without Him. We are vessels in the clay, laying at His feet. And if He chooses to reach down into that clay and pick us up and use us, who are we to flap our wings, throw our heads back and crow and say, look at me. Oh, the very fact that God would have anything to do with any of us. Now, I understand, and I preached for years, God doesn't need you and God doesn't need me. Brother Frank Sells, I was in Columbia in a meeting. The pastor was attending his classes, and he said, Brother Larry, would you like to go to Brother Sells' class with me in the morning? I said, Brother, I'd love to. So he came by and picked me up, and we went to the class. And held it in a gymnasium. I mean, the crowd there. And Brother Sales, in the midst of his lesson that day, said, God needs you, and God needs me. Well, that filed away in my mind, and when it was over, I walked up to him and I said, Brother Sales, I need to ask you a question. Kind and gentle as he always was, just as sweet a man, I guess, as God ever let breathe air. Dr. Sales said, what is it, Brother Larry? I said, well, you said during your teaching there today that God needs us. And I've always looked at it as God could do well without us. And he said, Brother Larry, he said, how could God show his mercy? And where would God show his love? His compassion, his forbearance. And he listed a group of things. Before he'd finished, I was squalling like a baby. I changed my mind that day. And I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. God does need us. He needs us to prove that he's God. Glory. And the good Holy Ghost that is placed within us. And the good power of God that reaches down into the clay of this old world and picks us up and uses us for his glory. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God that he needs us. But at the same time, whether we're willing or not, God's plan will carry on. Every step will go right on down the road just like it's supposed to, because somebody you and I know is in charge. And someone you and I know who's never made a mistake and never will bring this thing to pass. The manifestation, the exhibition of the Spirit of God, not the exhibition of the individual. Verse number 8. For to one's given the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. It'd be good to have both of those, wouldn't it? Knowledge without wisdom makes you crazy. One thing to read the book and have the knowledge, but it's another thing to have the wisdom to put it together. Thank God for wisdom. Thank God for knowledge. But you notice how it's laid out here, and we'll come back to that at another time. But I want you to notice now that wisdom is before knowledge. That's important. It's important how God lays these things out here. We'll deal with that as well at another time. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues or languages. To another, the interpretation of these languages or tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, watch this, dividing to every man severally as he will. Not as we will, but as he will. Oh, I want this gift, Lord. Well, you may get it and you may not. If he decides to give you that gift, then you'll get it. Now, we'll talk more about these, and you're going to find out that some of these showy gifts all die out. Let me just give you something to whet your teeth and get you interested in truth here. Over in chapter number 13, In verse number 10, now Paul is talking about charity and how all of these things are wrapped up in charity, and charity being the greatest of the gifts. The charity Paul's speaking of is Holy Ghost love. It's agape love. It goes beyond that that we know anything of. Let's go back to chapter number 12 just a minute. Look at verse number 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Now, if you look at the verses before that, verse 28 down through that, you'll notice the listing of the gifts again in order. And the last of the gifts are showy gifts. You see that? Showy gifts. Let me inform you that the Jews seek after a sign. The Greeks, wisdom. The sign was given so the Jews would know that this is God doing this. I'm not a Jew, you're not a Jew. So that requirement isn't there. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Now I'm going to show you another way, he said. And then he speaks of all these things as showy gifts to start off with. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now, he deals with charity. And by the way, charity is the only one of the gifts that is in the female gender, which means it can reproduce. Woo! Charity can have babies. Glory. That means it can grow and multiply and there'll be more of it. Now, hurriedly, because of time and the constraints thereof. Verse number 10, he says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, these showy things are going to pass away. As a matter of fact, he says, where there be tongues, they shall cease. The prophecies will pass away. But now watch this. When I was a child, verse 11, I spake as a child. Paul said, now when I was immature, I dallied with these things. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, it's time for you to grow up. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now watch this. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what?
Charity.
In other words, these other things have passed off the scene, but here's what's still around. Here's what's still getting the job done. Faith, hope, charity. Ms. Obama said this past week that there is no hope. I preached last Sunday night, that there is a hope. One of us is wrong. And I think if I were a cross between Rosa Parks and a Clydesdale, I wouldn't be acting like I knew a whole lot. Well, hello.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost in the church, dividing severally as He will. Huh? Don't you wish you could sit down at this piano and play like Sister Angie? Don't you wish you could sit down at that organ and play like my darling wife? We've been sweethearts since you was what? 11 years old. And she's never taught me how to do that. I took piano lessons when I was a boy. I really did. In about 3 years, I learned where middle C is. Well, I learned a few more things than that, but that's basically what I learned. And I learned that the first lesson. That just isn't my talent. It just isn't what I was cut out for. I'd love to be able to do it. A man's touch on a piano, it's just different. I don't know what it is, but it's just different. I'd love to be able to do that. But that wasn't God's design for my life. I sat down at the piano the other morning. I'm sitting there just kind of gently touching the keys, and I'm thinking, why didn't I learn to play the piano? And then I thought, that just wasn't the design for my life. And had I done so, that would have probably taken me in an entirely different direction. I don't know about you, and I don't know how you're going to look at it when you get to where I am, but I'm pleased with what God's called me to do. I'm pleased with what God's helped me to do through the years. Oh, I'd love to have seen more, but I'm pleased with what God's helped me to do. I don't think I can say like Paul that I'm free from the blood of all men, but I think I can say that I'm free from the blood of everyone I've been able to preach to, because I've done my best by the grace of God to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not man's gospel, but the gospel of Christ. Wherever I've been. All I want when I get to glory is to hear these words said, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I don't even know if I've been a good servant. I wouldn't say I've been entirely faithful all the way. But I would say this. I'm keenly aware that the good Holy Ghost lives inside this shell. And I'm keenly aware that only He can work the miracle of bringing souls into the household of faith. But I'm sure glad that He reached down in this old world, in the clay and the sand of this earth, and picked up this vessel. I want Him to do the same for you. God can use you. God has given you a gift. Find that gift and use it for God's glory. Magnify Him. Don't magnify yourself. Magnify Him. And in so doing, that well done, my good and faithful servant, will be heard by you as well. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your good spirit. Thank you for bringing us into the church. And thank you for baptizing us into the body of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to open these verses in the days to come. Make them so simple that everyone can understand. And now, Lord, even in this hour, there may be one among us. I pray in Jesus' name, if this is their time, if this is the time of their birth, let us rejoice with them tonight as you do your work in Jesus' name. Amen.